The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Sheets and random tools and systems that aren't connected and really aren't helping you at all. If this sounds like you, you need a partner like Baselane. Baselane is the number one banking platform that's built for real estate investors. So whether you have one property, whether you have 100 properties, we all know the job of a landlord is never done. You need a tool where you can effectively manage your business. Baselane's banking platform is built for your real estate business. It's banking, online rent collection, bookkeeping, analytics, and so much more. And it's all in one place. So with Baselane, you don't have to worry about going through these various spreadsheets and tools. You can do it all right here. Also, it's 100% free. So you can take control of your rental property business and your finances and ultimately increase your rental income. We know that's what it's all about. So you can join a group of over 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane to manage their rental property with confidence. Opening an account takes just a minute. So go over to baselane.com/Sam right now and sign up for a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. So that's baselane.com/Sam. Again, baselane.com/Sam. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 207. Appreciate you taking some time to listen. If you haven't already, definitely make sure to leave us a rating and review. It helps us out a whole lot. And if you do leave a rating and review, send me an email with a screenshot of your submission. My email is in the show notes, and I'll send you a free 30-minute training on finding and evaluating properties. I actually do want to read a review we got recently from Lori W. It says, great information. Thank you. Nice and straight to the point. I appreciate you, Lori. Definitely make sure to send me an email and I'll get that training over to you. I'm so excited about this interview today with my guy, Randy Lewis. I do want to mention, I incorrectly introduced him and said he's done over 1 million in sales, but he's actually done over 100 million in sales. So I want to make sure that I correct myself on that. But in this episode, we talk about the NACR program and various other programs that can help you invest in real estate. And we talk in detail. I ask all the questions and I get all the answers. So without further ado, let's get into it. I'm very excited about this episode today. I got my guy, Randy Lewis, out of DC, man. Thank you so much for stopping by, man, as you're in town.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, man, let's jump right into it. So you have done well over 1 million in sales, over 50 NACA deals, which we're going to talk a lot more about today. So shout out to you, man. Congrats on all your accomplishments.
Man, I appreciate you. You know, it's been a long journey, but, yeah, you know, I'm blessed to be in my position right now. And, you know, the goal is just to continue changing lives.
Definitely. How's L.A. treating you?
I love L.A. This is like a second home. The real estate, you know, is a little bit hectic out here, but love L.A.
Yeah, definitely, man. So, man, so you took a bit of a career transition some years ago and, you know, you were working your 9-to-5, you know, doing real estate. And you eventually decided to dive fully into being a real estate agent and investor. What was the catalyst that made you want to make that shift and go full on into entrepreneurship?
It was really the pandemic. You know, people make jokes. They call it the bandemic. But, you know, I always knew that I wanted to do real estate full time, specifically as an investor. But I really fell in love with helping people as an agent. And, you know, as you mentioned, I was doing HR for the government. I was 30 under 30. I was thriving, well on my way to be a senior level executive. But, you know, my passion was in real estate. And I never really got to put the work into real estate to really, like, see the real benefits as an agent. And when the pandemic happened, we were able to telework. And so I was able to really start marketing myself as a realtor, an investor. And, you know, at that point, it allowed me to really to just start taking off from, on Instagram. And I got promoted at the time. And, like, you know, they required more work. And at that point, I'm just like, you know, I'm not really in it. I'm grateful for the, you know, promotion, the salary, but, like, you know, real estate was something that I was passionate about. I knew I could do it. So the pandemic definitely.
Yeah, it's interesting. The pandemic seemed for a lot of people to be this transformational time, some in good ways, some not so good ways. But I've seen just, like, for many people, that was the turning point, whether it was a job getting laid off or reducing hours. I experienced that reduction in hours, or people went through things, and for many it was part of what propelled them on the path. So that's amazing, man. Before we get into, like, the real estate stuff, I do want to talk about gentrification, right? So you're a DMV native, and anybody who is not living under a rock has heard about the gentrification that's been taking place in DC. Talk to us about that, just like what your perspective is as a native, but also you're in the business too. So yeah. What has that been like?
Man, it's been hectic, honestly. And just living in DC, living in these neighborhoods, you know, just seeing what they're doing. You know, for me, my standpoint is, like, as an agent, as somebody who understands real estate and understands certain programs like NACA, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if we're educating our people on how they can actually be a part of it, right? Yeah. So while they're building the areas up, you can leverage a program like NACA where, you know, they'll cover your down payment, your closing costs, and you can purchase in those neighborhoods as well. So for me, I think it's an opportunity. I don't think, you know, it's necessarily a bad thing if you're a part of it. So for me, I'm educating people. I'm like, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at. You can get, you know, you could be a part of this. You could purchase these properties. Don't let these people come out of town and, you know, just buy the city up. And fortunately, you know, I built relationships where, you know, a lot of these properties, I'm getting them at off market. So, you know, my clients, I'm helping them, like, you know, purchase these properties before they even hit the market. So, you know, these other people aren't able to just buy everything up. Mm-hmm. You know, we're buying back the block. So, you know, it's definitely, it can be challenging, but, you know, I think if you're strategic about it, you know, you could definitely be a part of it.
Definitely. So it sounds like your standpoint is, we can't stop what's going on, but I want to help y'all participate in the upside.
Absolutely.
Through real estate.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and you just know the history of real estate. You know, it's been unfortunate, like, how, you know, they've put our people on the back end, and, you know, they've put barriers in place for us not to be able to be a part of it. But now we're in an era where, you know, this education is out. You know, it's a digital era. We have phones. We have access. People like you are, you know, talking about these different programs. And, you know, it's important for me knowing, like, what it takes to be able to, like, purchase real estate. I'm helping people from start to finish. You know, I have Section 8 people where I'm helping, like, hey, you know, you can use your voucher to purchase real estate. And so I don't think it's an excuse anymore. I think it's just a matter of people like myself, you, these other great, you know, influencers on teaching people how they can, you know, invest in real estate and stop making excuses, because, you know, we're now in the time where we can buy up real estate.
That's a fact. And let's talk about that Section 8 and using that voucher to purchase real estate, because I don't think we've had anybody talk about that before. Is that, before we get into details, is that, like, a DC specific thing to your knowledge? Could it potentially be in other cities?
Yeah, it's definitely in other cities. Uh-huh. So NACA, you know, NACA, I'm a big advocate for NACA. I partner with them. That's why I'm here in LA. And NACA has a great program where they're helping people who have, like, permanent vouchers buy real estate. So if your payment standard, because typically you get approved for a certain amount, so if you have a one bedroom voucher, you can purchase you know, something based off of your mortgage payment, right? So if your voucher is for $2,000, NACA will allow you to use that as, like, qualifying income. So you know, if there's a property, let's just say it's for a $400,000 property based on the interest rates, let's say your final payment is $2,000, NACA will work with the local housing authority to allow them to purchase that property.
Wow. So let's just, does it have to be, so you said a Section 8 voucher, you said?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. All right, let's break that down. So someone is $2,000, that's their voucher. Does the voucher need to cover a certain portion of what the mortgage might be? Or how does that part of it work?
So, yeah, the voucher would be so when they get approved, they have a certain, ratio. So
gotcha.
They might only have to pay like $25 and
gotcha.
The voucher covers, you know, $1,980.
Gotcha.
And so through, when they're doing underwriting, they're looking at, your qualifying income. And so they'll use that to allow them to qualify.
Gotcha. That's pretty interesting, man. So for those who, NACA seems to be pretty popular, but it's very possible somebody listening here doesn't know what the program is, and we'll get into the details of it, but what is NACA? What is the purpose of it?
So the purpose of it is really to make home ownership attainable and affordable. There's a lot of people, there's a misconception that you have to be low income to be able to go through NACA, but that's not the case. There's people, lawyers, doctors, people who are making money that are going through the program. And so with NACA, their biggest thing is they want you to purchase the property and live in it. And so you get a below the market interest rate and, they cover the down payment, closing costs. So they really put you in a position to where you're able to actually afford the property and upkeep it and not lose it. And NACA has been around for like over 35 years.
Yeah.
And so they've partnered with Bank of America, where Bank of America has committed to like over like $20 billion in NACA loans, and it's in all 50 states. So
yeah.
It's a great program. It's really a no-brainer. As I mentioned, that's how I got into it.
Yeah.
So I'm a big advocate.
Definitely. So no down payment, no closing costs, no fees or anything of that nature. What does the process look like? So we were at the Achieve the Dream event yesterday in downtown LA, and it was fascinating to me just to one hear the testimonials, but also just being able to connect with people and just hear more about how the process works. And it was fantastic, so I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to go. But what is the process for NACA, and what are like the qualifications, just so once somebody's done here, they can get going?
Absolutely. So the first step is they have a workshop. So it's called a home buying workshop, where they want you to take a 4-hour class. They typically have it every other Saturday. It can be in person or virtual. And you go through that class. Upon you completing the class, they'll give you a NACA ID. And so now that's your, identification number. At that point, you have access to their portal, and you have the ability to upload your documents. So it's pretty standard. You're going to upload your pay stubs, last 2 years of tax returns, your voter's registration card, they'll run a credit check. So basic, very basic things. And then upon you doing that, they'll schedule you for an in-person or virtual consultation with the NACA counselor. And so that NACA counselor is going to look at your profile, see where you're at. Based off of that, they'll let you know whether or not you're ready right now. If you're not ready, they're going to give you action items, which essentially is a roadmap. Like, okay, we need you to save this X amount of dollars for 3 months, or we need you to clean up some things on your credit. They don't care about your credit score. They just don't want to see late payments in the last year. And so upon you doing that, they'll, approve you for the loan. So essentially they're underwriting for Bank of America, because Bank of America is actually the lender. And so upon them deeming you as a qualified buyer, they'll pass your information to Bank of America. And now, you're in the home process, where you can search for a home. As we mentioned, you can buy a multifamily unit, a mixed use, a condo, new construction. So it's a pretty great product.
That's dope, man. So I know there's like no out-of-pocket cost, but one of the things you mentioned was that you may have an action plan for saving a certain amount of money. Is the expectation that you have a certain amount of reserves by the time you're ready to purchase a property? And if so, like what is that? How many months of reserves are they talking?
Great question. So it depends on what you're purchasing. So if you're purchasing just a single family home or just a regular home, they'd want you to save up 3 months of what your projected mortgage payment would be. If you're purchasing a multifamily unit, they're going to want you to save up to 6 months. So at the end of the day, though, it's a great thing to do, just because upon you purchasing that home, you still have that money that you saved up. So now, you know, you're off to the races.
I love that. So just to recap, so if somebody wanted to get a multifamily property, let's just say a duplex, and the mortgage was $3,000, they would want to see you save $18,000. So they know, worst comes to worst, you could at least pay the mortgage for 6 months if something goes wrong.
Absolutely. And then the great thing about NACA, you know, it's HUD certified. So in the event that, you know, if life happens, you're unable to keep up with the payments, they have something called MAP, where they have assistance. So they might, you know, push your payments back another 6 months to get, let you get, you know, get mm-hmm. up to speed and, you know, make those payments on time. So there's a lot of support with it.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're just leaving you out, hanging yeah. dry. So, you know, it's a yeah. great, great program.
That makes a lot of sense. And HUD is Department of Housing and Urban Development, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got it right. There's all these acronyms that everybody may not know, but Department of Housing and Urban Development. Cool. So how long do you have to stay in the property? Because, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is it true that there is some sort of lien on the property for a certain number of years? And if so, like, what are the details of that?
Yeah, so they want you to stay in it technically for the life of the loan, but mm-hmm. It's a 5-year plan. So they put a $25,000 lien on it. Mm-hmm. And so for every year that you're in the property, $5,000 gets reduced. So, you know, after 5 years, you don't have that lien, and you could do however you see fit if you want to refinance. Mm-hmm. But you can also refinance at any point as well.
Gotcha.
I've actually had some clients refinance, and you know, they'll ask you like what your reason is, and you know, my clients haven't had a lien, so they were yeah. able to refinance out of it without a lien.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of times that can be, you know, a barrier for some people, because yeah. they look at it like, well, you know, if I don't want to stay in here, then, you know, I'm kind of stuck. I got this $25,000 lien. But my perspective on it is, in the grand scheme of things, you didn't put any money down to begin with. So,
yeah.
And we know with real estate, you know, homes appreciate. So, mm-hmm. you know, worst case, you know, if you sell it after 3 years, you know, $15,000 is coming away from, you know, your takeaway. But if, you know, that home is worth $60,000, you know, you're taking yeah. $60,000, you know, minus 15, you know, you're still up.
Yeah, that makes sense. So to me, it sounds like the 5-year requirement is to incentivize people to stay within that community, right? Would you say that's probably the reason why?
I think it's more so they don't really want to make it for investors.
Got you. Okay.
They really want people to take advantage of it more so, you know, for as a home, yeah. primary residence.
Makes
so I think
sense.
That's why they kind of put that in there.
That makes sense. Well, hey, I mean, if someone can get a multi-unit, you are investing, right? You kind of hack in the system anyway. And time flies. Time goes by fast. And to your point, like you said, if somebody wanted to sell and it made sense and they had enough equity, you just got to factor in that they're going to take away, you know, let's just break an example down. Like if you move into the property 2024, you want to sell in 2026, you mentioned they take off $5,000 for each year you're there. Mm-hmm. So then whatever your profit is, they will deduct $15,000 and
Correct.
Then you get the rest.
Right.
If it comes down to when you need to sell.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, it seems like a fair deal.
Absolutely.
To me. It seems like a fair option for people to consider. And what I do like is that they're making sure that you afford it, because correct me if I'm wrong, it's like about 33% of your income that they'll limit, that the mortgage can't exceed. Is that correct?
Yeah, 31%.
Okay.
So the easiest way to break it down is you would take your salary and your annual salary, you would divide it by 12 because there's 12 months in the year, and then mm-hmm. you just multiply it by 0.31, 31%.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's that.
Got it. So somebody is making $10,000 a month, a lot of money. $10,000 yeah. a month, their mortgage shouldn't exceed like $3,100.
Right, right.
Okay.
So that's for just a regular home. But
yeah.
if you're purchasing a multifamily unit, let's just say you have a 4-unit building,
mm-hmm.
that's just your portion of the rent
mm.
or of the mortgage, excuse me. So if you have three of those units, are going to be occupied at some point.
Yeah.
So they're going to take the market rent for that. Even if you have tenants in there, they're not going to use those rents. They're going to take the market rent. So an appraiser will come out and say, okay, in this area, let's just say each unit is $1,500. You know, so that's $4,500 of qualifying rental income plus your $3,000. So that's a $7,500 mortgage that you would get approved for a four-unit building. And so, you know, at the max, they cap it at, for a multifamily, at 1.6.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Got it. So let me do a check for understanding. Mm-hmm. So they count the income from, if it's a multi-unit property, they count the income towards the qualifying income for the,
They count that income as your qualifying income for your mortgage, because NACA doesn't approve you for necessarily a sales price.
Yeah.
They approve you for a mortgage payment.
Okay.
It's going to vary. So, you know, in D.C., like, you know, DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. So in certain parts of Maryland, property taxes are higher. So your property taxes and interest rate, those dictate your monthly payment.
Right.
So you might get approved for more in one city or county than you would in another. So they approve you for a payment. And then based off of that payment, you know, it comes, you know, it equates to a sales price.
I got it. That makes sense. So effectively, your income on a monthly basis plus the income from the other units, they're counting that in order to qualify you for a particular mortgage amount.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, I'm like, it's easier to get approved for a multifamily because you don't really have to make a lot of money. When I purchased my four unit back in 2016 through NAC, I went through the program, you know, I was making like $40,000 a year.
Wow.
And so, but I got approved for basically $1 million because, you know, DC rents are high. And, you know, at the time the interest rates were, you know, a lot lower. So, you know, my payment really wasn't substantial. So, you know, between two of my tenants, they covered the mortgage. So that's essentially like how NACA works from that standpoint.
Goodness gracious. So let's talk about that first deal. Let's talk about, because it's interesting, like you got into NACA. So you experienced the program, which to me gives you a lot of credibility as a agent, because you know the process, right?
Absolutely.
And obviously you've closed like 50 plus deals through NACA. So talk about that opportunity and just like you getting started, being able to buy your own property.
Man, it was a blessing. And, you know, by me going through NACA, it pretty much just put me in a position to just get to where I'm at now. And so I went through the program. It took me about 6 months to get approved. I purchased my building at the time for $400,000. And so, you know, my interest rate was a 2.875. So, you know, my monthly payment was $2,000 a month. And, you know, in D.C., it's, you know, the rents are high. So I was able to get it off market. So I didn't have to compete with, like, you know, all these out-of-town investors who, you know, just putting all cash. And so, you know, I had about two tenants I inherited in there. There were Section 8 vouchers, so they probably only paid about like $25 out their pocket. So like, then I had, you know, the other two units. I lived in one, and then I had another unit that I filled. And so, you know, I was living rent free. So it just put me in a great position because, you know, I saved up all this money and I was able to get this income generating property that is covering my mortgage payments. And I still have, you know, access to the money that I saved up. So I didn't go house poor.
Yeah, it's almost like it was like a rocket fuel, man, because to your point, you're making $40,000 a year, which a lot of people can relate to. I mean, let's just be honest.
Right.
And so that's one. And then two, remember, you had to have a certain amount of reserves already saved. So you had that in your pocket. It was covering your mortgage payment. So you were able to keep even more money in your pocket, like whatever you were paying for rent or whatever your previous situation was. So you pair those two together. That sounds like a sweet deal to me.
Man, I'm telling you. And so now, you know, I've been working with NACA for so long, so I really, like, understand, like, how to, like, do it to where you're really just in a position. So with my clients, I have clients who we're pushing our mortgage payments back 6 months. So, you know, they have something called hand department where hand, you know, NACA allows you to include renovations into your loan. Mm-hmm. And so once you do that, they actually reduce your interest rate by going through their renovation department, but then they also allow you to push your monthly payments back 6 months. So we just did a deal about like 3 months ago where one of my guys, the property was generating $8,000 a month, and we pushed his payment back 6 months. So he, essentially, tenants have been paying them $8,000 for 6 months. So he, you know, made about $48,000 on top of the money that he had already saved. So, you know, it's literally a life hack.
Oh my goodness. I haven't heard that particular part of it. So if I understand correctly, if you are doing renovation, if it's a multi-unit, it could just, it sounds like it could be just the unit you're going to live in. If you go through NACA's system to include the renovation costs in your loan, the mortgage is put, the first mortgage payment is pushed back 6 months.
Absolutely.
And that's so crazy.
The numbers have to be there still. Yeah. Like if you're like literally on the edge of just qualifying, then you might, you wouldn't be able to push it back 6 months. But if there's room in there, you can definitely do it. And we're strategic about it. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of times that's how we structure the deal. Yeah. Because again, you know, you're getting income generating property and you don't have to make your first payment for 6 months. So now you're just stacking up. Some properties we get is vacant. So, yeah. You know, but it still allows them time where they don't have to make any mortgage payments up front. So, you know, they're going into a good situation. We have a game plan for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're off to the races.
Man, that's I'm kind of kicking myself, man. I kind of wish I didn't.
It's not too late.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. So you've done 50 or so NACA deals as a realtor representing clients. How have you been able to build your clientele? And, you know, a lot of people talk about the NACA process and how stressful it can be sometimes. How do you keep your clients going as well? Because I'm sure everyone has a different path and length of time it takes. So how do you keep your clients going? And how do you even find your clients?
It's really just because I've gone through it. And so a lot of these agents they don't understand the process. And so for me, it's not just they come to me when they're qualified. I'm helping them from start to finish. And so, you know, I have consultations with my clients and I'm laying it out. Like, I'm doing the actual intake session that they would have with their actual NACA counselor because I understand what NACA wants. And so I'm sitting down with them. I'm transparent. I need you to tell me everything, show me everything. And based off of there, I'm creating action items for them. So I can legit tell my clients, you know, you're going to go into this meeting, you will get approved, or you're not going to get approved. Here are the things that they're going to want to see. And so at that point, they begin working. And so it's really just like creating a roadmap for them. And like at that point, they understand expectations. And so when they go into the NACA meetings with their counselors, they're, you know, in a position where their counselor's like, wow, you've done the work already, because mm-hmm. our meetings are pretty seamless. Whereas, you know, other people, they're not as prepared. And so my clients go in there with the, you know, with the edge on it, and the NACA counselors can appreciate that. And so I built a relationship with NACA, Bruce Marks, CEO, you know, a really good relationship between, you know, the counselors and, you know, the people at the closing department. So I understand like how it works. Mm-hmm. And so for me, having gone through it, you know, I'm on Instagram advocating for NACA, social media, you know, going to different meetups and just really just trying to educate people while I help anybody. You know, I just think if it's your first property, you know, it's a great route because I saw what it did for me. And so, you know, for me, it's like if I could teach you, make it, you know, as easy as possible, let you understand the real expectations, be as transparent as possible, at least you know what you're getting into. And so I think that's why my clients, you know, are able to get through the process fairly smooth mm-hmm. and just fairly smoothly and just be able to, like, you know, acquire these properties. And we have a lot of good success stories.
I love that. And to be honest with you, I think you have a competitive advantage because I've heard of a number of realtors who don't like the NACA program. They don't like the process. They don't like how long it might take to get somebody to the point of acquiring a property and closing. And I think the fact that you've gone through the process and you are willing to, one, not just throw them to the counselor without a preparation. You're looking at what the counselor is going to look at, and you're giving them a plan before they even get there, which I'm sure helps you in your timeline. Because if they are there and they're ready and there's not all this back and forth and things getting lost in email and all this stuff, it helps to speed the process up. So I think you have a competitive advantage because you are willing to do what a lot of other agents would not have the patience to do.
Definitely. You know, I attribute that to my HR background. So HR, you know, as you know, you got to be compliant, strategic. You know, you just got to be organized. And so, you know, we have a plan in place. And so my clients are, you know, we lay it out. We create a roadmap. Here's a playbook. If you really want this, you got to execute. I'm telling you what you need to do. Yeah. And that's the thing I love about real estate. You know, it's X, Y, and Z. If you do X, Y, and Z, this is the outcome. And so NACA's done a lot better, though. They've streamlined the process. They have the Achieve the Dream events where you can get approved in one day. So you can knock everything out, and they're torn. You know, I'm here in L.A., Achieve the Dream event. You've seen people get approved. And so... Wow. Back in the day, you know, 2016, you know, it was probably take people 4 to 5 months just to even see a counselor. Now people are getting approved within a month. You know, I have clients who, you know, we do it in 2-3 weeks and, you know, they're getting approved. So it's gotten a lot better.
I love that, man. And I think, you know, it's just so impactful. Like yesterday we're at the event and this is not a paid sponsorship, but if NACA does want a paid sponsorship, I'm open for conversation. But you know, it was just beautiful to see the stories, like people crying up on stage, crying, and it was powerful. So I mean, the way they put those events together, man, I think it's really, really impactful. And then, you know, they had you on stage as well talking about your story. And yeah, I mean, every option, every program won't work for everyone, but this will work for some people, and it can be transformative.
Nah, I definitely can. And the beautiful thing about it, it's in all 50 states. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're just getting bigger. They're in some states, they have programs where they partner with the local counties and cities. And, you know, people are buying, what, a land for a dollar? Mm, I think in Newark, New Jersey, they've partnered with them. And so you have people literally buying like land for a dollar and they're building on it. And so it definitely is life changing. You know, we talk about building generational wealth, and like NACA is a great tool to do that.
Absolutely. So what do you recommend for someone after NACA? Let's say they've been there for the 5 years, or maybe they refinanced during that period of time. What do you recommend? Obviously you can't do the program again. How can someone grow and acquire more properties in an affordable manner, not similar to NACA, but coming off of NACA? Like, what would you recommend to be the next step?
So a NACA is a conventional loan. Mm-hmm. So you still have your FHA loan. And so, you know, that's kind of, you know, what I teach my clients. And, you know, even from my own personal experience, you know, you can go the FHA route and you could buy another multifamily unit if you want to go that route, or a house where you're putting 3.5% down. And, you know, with the FHA, it's just you're in there for 1 year. And a lot of people don't know you can have two FHA loans as long as you have like a qualifying event. So, you know, let's just say your family grew, or you want to move closer to work. So I've seen it where, you know, people get an FHA and then get another FHA because of the qualifying event. So, you know, that's 7%, you know, for two properties instead of having to put, you know, that 20-25% mm-hmm. down. In addition, I teach my clients about creative financing, owner financing. You know, that's something that we do a lot. It's just about, you know, relationships. In addition, a vacation loan, there's the 10% down product where, you know, if you find a property that's 50 miles away from your primary residence, you can put 10% down. You can't buy a multifamily unit, but you could buy like a house or a condo. And you just got to visit the property or live in it for, you know, a couple, like I want to say it's like 18 days out the year. Don't quote me, but like, you know, that's another way of acquiring property without having to put that 20-25% down.
Definitely. For the FHA, you mentioned a qualifying event. Does it need to be a certain number of miles from your primary residence? Not your primary residence. Does it need to be a certain number of miles away from the first property?
That's really up to underwriting. I've seen where people have gotten like properties within like 10-mile radius. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, qualifying event. If your family got bigger, like, you know, you got to, you had a daughter, son, and you know, you need more rooms. So, but you know, again, it's kind of a grayer because it's based off of the underwriter, but yeah.
Definitely. And the vacation loan thing seems pretty cool. So 10% down, it needs to be a certain number of, like you said, 50 miles away from your primary?
50 miles away.
And you just need to stay there for a couple weeks a year, basically. And the remainder of that year, you could, you know, rent it out on a short-term, mid-term, whatever basis to whoever, right?
Absolutely. So one of my business partners, my cousin, Blather, shout out my guy, Blather. so he did, it was one of the best, like, deals I've seen. So he bought a house in Atlanta. It was like a new construction home. And I think he bought it for around like $300K.
Wow.
Put 10% down. He was able to negotiate like some credit. You know, he made his money back within a year. And so like, that's powerful, right? Like,
yeah.
I think he put down like less than 20K.
Yeah.
Got that back through short-term rental, you know, Airbnb at that time. And so, you know, that was a great, great deal.
Yeah, I think he was telling about it when we were at your event last summer. But yeah, I think it's important for people to think ahead and realize like there are these different programs and opportunities out there for you. So whether it be NACA, whether it be FHA, whether you do some conventional loan, but now you know you can do the vacation loan. And if there's a place that you and your family like and you can afford to get a vacation home there and put that 10% down, maybe you can do that and just rent it out the rest of that time, whether it's short term or midterm. Like you take all these things into consideration, but the point is like there's options out there.
Exactly. And it's just about educating yourselves and surrounding yourself with professionals who understand, who are actually doing it. You know, for me, you know, I don't even like to call myself a real estate agent. I say like I'm your advisor, you know, and so it's a long term relationship. I invest myself and that allows me to, you know, build relationships to where my clients are, you know, getting these off-market deals and, you know, different opportunities. So through that, you know, you meet these people, these investors, these private, like, funders, people that can help finance deals. So, you know, it's definitely a lot of opportunities out here. It's just about surrounding yourself with the right people.
Definitely. I love that. I love that. And something else we spoke about before was the Good Neighbor Next Door program. I don't think a lot of people know about that. As a matter of fact, I don't think we've had anybody cover that. Can you explain what that is and how it works and all that?
Yeah. So the Good Neighbor Next Door program, it's for like teachers, firefighters, EMTs, police. I think they just added like nurses. And so it's a program where it's they want you to purchase in areas that they're trying to revitalize. And so if you're a teacher and they have these homes through HUD, you essentially have the opportunity to purchase the home half off. And so I've helped a few people go through this program. So one of my clients, you know, they bought a house for $50,000. It was on the market for $100,000. They got it for $50,000 and they were able to renovate it. And then you just have to live in it for 3 years. After 3 years, you can do whatever you want. You can refinance, you can rent it out. So it's a great product. It's a lottery, so you're not really trying to outbid anybody. It's just like, you know, if there's five people who inquire, they, you know, they pick out of a hat and, you know, you get that property and you're literally putting nothing down.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in one of those fields, why not throw your hat in the ring? Now you know about it, tell your agent about it. Why not throw your hat in the ring? I don't see why you wouldn't.
Right.
Especially if you want to stay in a particular city. You may win, you may not, but I mean, I'm sure it's something that people still need to be educated about at a large scale, but why not throw your hat in the ring?
Right. And it's instant equity. You know, you're getting it half off, you're renovating it. So after that 3 years, it's a life hack. You have equity already and you could, you know, use that however you see fit.
Definitely. I agree. I love that. Talk just more about your portfolio, because I know after that first four unit, you've been able to acquire more properties. So we'd love if you could just talk just more about that, where the portfolio sits now and what you're looking to do going forward.
Yeah, so I'm really big on multifamily units. So, you know, I have multiple four unit buildings. I just bought a duplex about a year and a half ago. I used my FHA on that. We're doing a lot of creative financing deals. So really it's about getting these doors and, you know, I'm big on affordable housing. So We're renting it out to, you know, not only Section 8, but returning citizens, you know, people lower income, and we're trying to help them, you know, not only get their lives together, but like we're trying to educate them and not have them renting the entire time. You know, my goal is to have all my tenants become homeowners. But as an investor, you know, I'm really big on multifamily units. DC, we have a lot of them. And so I've been blessed enough to pretty much get most of the off markets. They come through me. And so, you know, if I don't want them, you know, I pass them on to my clients. And so, you know, my goal is just to continue investing. DC's starting to get a little too expensive. So I'm looking at other areas as well. So, you know, a lot of people, they don't like the thought of investing out of state. Mm-hmm. I know you do it. I think it's a great opportunity as long as you have, you know, the right processes, the right resources in place. So, you know, I went to school in Ohio, so I'm looking at, like, Youngstown, Ohio, Cleveland, certain areas like that.
Definitely. I love that, man. What's it like being a landlord in D.C.? Because I know it's a very landlord-friendly place. I've covered some articles over the last year. There was a guy whose tenants, I mean, he probably was one of many, but his tenants didn't pay him for like 3 years, and it was just like a whole thing in court. And just, it seems very similar to L.A. So what's it like for you?
Yeah, D.C. is very tenant-friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, these people, they decide not to pay. It's not just a 30-day notice. You literally have to go to court. And even when you go to court, you know, the initial hearing, the judge is hearing you out. They say, hey, go to mediation. You go to mediation. You can come up with an agreement. Then they'll say, you know, see what happens. If the tenant doesn't fulfill it, then you have to go back to court, and then they're going to give them different options. So there's a lot of different programs, nonprofits that help people, you know, who are behind on payments. They'll help them, you know, cover their payments, and it's like a once a year thing. So like there's certain tenants who understand, and so like every year I know I can go to this charity and get, you know, my rent to back pay it. So it's not an easy thing to just evict people. It can take anywhere from 6 months to years, especially with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. The courts were backed up. So I've seen a lot of people who, you know, were in a situation where, you know, they had market renters, people who, you know, weren't going through any voucher programs. And so they just decided not to pay them. And so, you know, they were stuck with this mortgage. And so it can definitely be very, very, very hard to get tenants out. Mm-hmm. But I've seen it done. It's just a matter of going through the process. But it definitely can be time consuming.
Yeah, I mean, I bet. Have you had any challenges over the last like 8 years with tenants?
So when I first bought my property, I did inherit two tenants, and you know, I gave them a year, and you know, it just didn't work out. Fortunately, I was able to, you know, get them out through eviction. It was a process. You know, fortunately, you know, it probably took me like 3 to 4 months. So, but then after that, you know, I was kind of focusing more so on guaranteed income, you know, through Housing Authority. And so, you know, that really, you know, put me in a position where, like, you know, I have some tenants, you know, they may only pay me $25 out of, like, you know, thousands of dollars. So, like, if in the event they don't pay me $25, it's not, like, a big hit. You know, I'm not mm-hmm. losing sleep off of it. But it definitely can be a challenge. But D.C. also, are you familiar with TOPA?
No, what is that?
So TOPA is a Tenants Opportunity to Purchase Act. And so tenants have first right of refusal. What that means, if you're selling a property, right? So if I have a four-unit building and I'm selling my four-unit building, I have to give my tenants an opportunity to purchase my four-unit because they live in it. And here's the catch, though. You know, they may not be qualified, mm-hmm. but if you don't have a good relationship with your tenant, they may just decide to inquire and say, yeah, I do want to purchase it. So if I come to them with a sales contract, they are able to match whatever the terms are. Mm-hmm. And then they can essentially delay the closing 30 to 60 days because per, you know, the bylaws, they have the opportunity to, like, show financing for 30 days. And then the other thing is they have the ability to assign their rights. So you have people in DC that are like going to tenants and saying, hey, I'll give you $500 if I could take over your TOPA. And so these tenants will sign over their TOPA rights, and these people, they have no interest in buying the property, but they'll ask for $10,000 or $20,000 from whoever's buying it or the seller to be able to take back those rights in order for the deal to go through. So it's very vicious in D.C. People are making money. It's a whole business where people are taking rights from getting their tenants or renters' rights assigned to them and then just making money off of their TOPA.
I cannot believe they allow that nonsense, man. Yeah. That's insane. There's so much corruption and unethical things that opens the door to. I'm speechless. Wow.
It can be a deal breaker. So as an agent, you know, when I see these properties, if we get something under contract and, you know, it has tenants in there, you know, I let my clients know this could be a challenge, especially if the landlord doesn't have a good relationship with those tenants. Mm-hmm. It could be difficult. But fortunately, you know, I understand how to go about it. And so, you know, we've been able to, you know, kind of get over those hurdles. But I mean, I've been in situations where, you know, the other agent didn't handle it the right way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody got to that tenant like right before we did. And so, you know, I've seen where sellers have had to pay these people like $20,000 just to get the rights back. And, you know, it could be a deal breaker.
Wow. Well, keep that in mind, y'all. If you're looking to buy something in DC or get into real estate market or any market, just make sure you understand the law, the lay of the land, how to operate within it before going forward. But thanks for that insight. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Real estate is a vicious game, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, man, before we wrap, what does the future look like? What are you looking to do in 2024 and beyond?
Well, you already know we got Block Shoppers.
Yes, sir.
So Block Shoppers, we're buying back the block, you know. So we did our first event last year, and we're definitely going to bring you back. Sammy blessed us. Shout out to Henry Washington, MG the Mortgage Guy, Lindsey Smith. We had a lot of great speakers. So we're going to do another event. We're doing a lot of things. As a former athlete, we have a NIL program where we're teaching young athletes how they can use the income that they're getting from their image and likeness and investing it in real estate. So it's the NIL and wealth program that we officially launched. So, you know, we're doing a lot of things, just trying to continue to educate our community, help people understand how they can acquire real estate and sustain it and scale. So, you know, we're doing a lot of stuff, and I'm excited. It's going to be a great year.
Love it, man. Love it. And let the people know where they can reach you, your socials and all that, and keep in touch with you.
Absolutely. So my Instagram handle, realestate_Randy_DMV, as well as official_BlockShoppers. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Randy Lewis. Website is weareblockshoppers.com.
Definitely. And man, it's crazy. Like, this episode shows the power of networking, man. Like, you and I met at Black Real Estate Week in New Orleans last April, and then I came to your event in D.C. last July. We've been in contact ever since, and here we are right here. So, I mean, I encourage people, go out to conferences. You know, you never know who you'll meet. You can't just stay inside all day. You know, get out there, meet people, and, you know, you never know what can happen. So, you know, I appreciate you making time while you're in town, man, and looking forward to just collaborating and working together. And I'm excited to come back out to D.C., man.
Well, you already know we love you in D.C. And I appreciate what you're doing. This is important. We need it in our community. And, you know, shout out to you, man. This is the goal right here.
Appreciate that, man. Shout out to the DMV, man. I love the DMV. It was so much love when I was out there. I did not want to leave, man. It's just a different vibe and different love just to see our people succeeding and being successful in all areas, man. So shout out to anybody watching from the DMV. I love y'all. And thank you all for watching another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. If you're on YouTube, make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel. We've been growing a lot in the last 30, 60 days or so. So thank you for the support. If you're on the audio side, make sure to leave us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from your feedback. Thank you all so much. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.